Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. He leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me. That leads right into some things that I want to talk to you about this morning. I believe God. And there's a lot of different directions we could go with this. I believe God when he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I believe God when he says that he created the world in six literal days. The evening and the morning were the first day. I believe God that when he said he created us male and female. I can see that in every one of God's creation, that there is male and female, that you can examine someone physically or something physically, and it is male or female. Saw a rather humorous cartoon yesterday where a game warden was talking to a bow hunter who had shot a buck. And the buck was standing over there like this with an arrow kind of through its shoulder. And the game warden says, "Well, the problem is that today he's identifying as a doe." Sorry, Buck. It's not going to work. I believe God when God tells us things in his word. I think that his word has been proven to be his word, that the Bible has been proven to be his word, that we can trust it, rely upon it, that we can apply it to our lives. God calls upon us to believe him. And when it seems that what he is saying couldn't possibly be true, that is especially when we need to believe what he is telling us to do. You see that in this quotation that we have here, "I believe God." That's a quote from the Apostle Paul. When he and several others were in a storm on the Mediterranean Sea, they hadn't seen the sun or the stars for 7 days. The sea was in a great tempest. Everyone on board that ship was certain that they were going to die. But Paul spoke up and said, "God has sent an angel to me and has assured me that we are all going to live. The ship is going to be destroyed, but we are all going to live." He says, "I believe God." It wasn't a real good situation. When you look at the situation they were in, you've got trained seagoing men. Paul was well acquainted with the sea himself. Didn't look like what the angel had said was going to happen, but the angel said, "This is what God said," and Paul says, "I believe God." You know, what Paul had going for him was that God had spoken to him before. And he had seen that what God had said before was true. He had reason to believe God in this situation. And I submit to you that we have seen God's word proven over and over and over again. And so when we find ourselves in situations that it seems like this can't be the way to do it, God's way can't be the way to handle this situation, those are the times especially that we need to say, "I believe God," and do what he says. Abraham, with a barren wife, had to believe God. He didn't right at first. He thought, "Well, maybe this is what God meant. Or maybe this is what God meant. Maybe God meant that one of the children of my servants should be my heir. Or maybe a child with my wife's handmaid should be the heir. And finally, he got it. Finally, he realized that when God said that Rachel will have a son, or that Sarah will have a son, and through his seed, all nations will be blessed, he trusted God. Didn't see how it would happen, but he believed God and did what God said. In Luke chapter 5, we see where Peter had been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. Rather remarkable when you're throwing a net out and you don't catch anything. And Jesus said, let your net down for a great catch. Peter said, it's not good. But at your word, we'll do it. And of course, the net was so great a catch that it nearly broke. We need to be like Peter and Abraham and Paul. That when the situation is dire, when the situation seems like there's no way that the right thing is going to happen, we need to trust God, believe God, and do what he says. Doubt and skepticism will only result in defeat. It almost happened to Elijah. Remember in 1 Kings chapter 19 and chapter 18, you have the showdown of Elijah with the prophets of Baal. After 3.5 years of drought, God says it's time for a showdown. And so Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to a duel, if you will. Let's see who really is God. Is Baal God or is Jehovah God? Let's do this. Let's build an altar. You build your altar, I'll build my altar. You put your sacrifice on the altar, I'll put my sacrifice on the altar. And then we'll call upon our gods. You call upon Baal, I'll call upon Jehovah. Whichever God sends the fire will be recognized as the one true God. And the prophets of Baal said, okay. Didn't turn out so good for them. They called upon Baal to send the fire, and he didn't. And Elijah says, well, you know, he might be asleep or something. Maybe you need to call louder. So they called louder. No fire. Maybe he's on vacation. No fire. Maybe you're just not being sincere enough. Maybe he doesn't think you really mean it. So they started cutting themselves to show their sincerity, that they believed in Baal, that Baal would send the fire. No fire. Well, maybe the problem is that Baal's not really a god. He's just a figment of your imagination. Let me try Jehovah. But before I do, let me drench my altar and my sacrifice in the wood, and I'll build a trench around it, and we will drench it in water. Completely drenched. And Elijah goes off and prays, and God sends the fire. It consumes the sacrifice. It consumes the wood. It consumes the altar. It consumes the water. Yeah, Jehovah's God. And the prophets of Baal are put to death. The people of Israel recognize that Jehovah is God and Baal is not God. Jezebel is so wicked that she vows that Elijah will be dead. He will be like one of the prophets of Baal before the sun sets. And Elijah flees to the mountains. He's thinking, how could this happen? How can I have such a great victory and not everyone, even the queen, recognize that Jehovah is God? It's hopeless. And finally, God comes to him and, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" "Well, I don't know what else to do. After such a demonstration and people still don't believe, I'm the only one." "No. I've got 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Never did believe in Baal. You're not the only one. You need to get back to work." So Elijah got back to work. He had been defeated in his own mind. After such a great victory, he needed to continue to trust in God, and God spoke to him, and he believed God. God is speaking to us. The early saints faced times of doubt and defeat and skepticism, but they believe God. We have several passages of Scripture to look at here. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 35 through 39. The Hebrew writer says, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. That promise is true. What Habakkuk the prophet said is going to come to pass. The people that the Hebrew writer was writing to were much like the people that Peter was writing to. Well, where's the promise of his coming? He's coming. You just need to keep your confidence steadfast to the end. "Now, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." If you give up on the gospel of Christ, the law of Christ, the way of God, what God says to us through Christ, and you want to go back, for them specifically, to the Mosaic law, God says, "I will have no pleasure in you." But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. We are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. I believe God. I'm not drawing back. I might not know why God hasn't come yet, why Christ hasn't returned, although Peter tells us why he hasn't returned. He's long-suffering to us. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. God knows when the time will come when not another soul will obey the gospel of Christ and live to his glory. But even if we didn't know that, we need to believe God. He is coming back. He is going to reward those who have been faithful. He is going to justify them. And those who have not believed him, not trusted him, will be cast into everlasting torment. James chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Very similar to that in the 5th chapter of James, chapter 5 and verses 10 through 11, he says, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Are you going through a trial in your life? Is the trial that you're experiencing in your life, is that included in one of these various trials? Shake your heads this way. Yeah, it is. There's no temptation come to you that is uncommon to man. It is common to all mankind. Others have faced the same thing and dealt with the same thing. Why are we submitted to trials and persecutions and difficulties in life? Because they make us stronger. Consider the prophets as an example. How that they endured. They endured persecution. People didn't listen to them. People didn't believe what they said. People ostracized them. People put them to death. But we know they were speaking the truth. First Peter chapter 3 and verses 13 through 16. Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats. From Isaiah chapter 8, verses 12 through 13. Isaiah, you're going to be threatened. Don't be afraid. Believe me, you're going to be threatened. Believe me, you don't have to be afraid. I'm still with you. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Yep. God said there will be those who call good evil, and they will call evil good. Have you heard anything like that today? What do they call those who call good good? They call you evil. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Believe Him. The bleached bones of those who died in the wilderness of unbelief testify to the tragedy of not saying, I believe God. The children of Israel who came out of Egypt, they saw the 10 plagues. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground with the sea piled up on both sides of them. They saw the Egyptian army destroyed in that sea. They saw God feed them with manna and quail and give them water out of a rock. They saw that their clothes didn't wear out. And yet so many wanted to go back to Egypt, rather than believe God. And for that 40 years, that generation who did not believe that they could go into the land that was promised to them, they died in the wilderness. Has a land been promised to us, brethren? Yeah. Heaven has been promised to us. Do you believe that you're going to heaven? The wilderness we're in right now is not heaven. Somebody says, amen to that. Yeah, there's suffering and trials and tribulations here. It's not heaven and it's not the Garden of Eden. There are those who do not believe God who test our faithfulness. who make us want to give up, who make us want to just turn to our own devices rather than the Word of God. So we have a choice. We can be like that faithless generation that was saved from Egypt, and we can die in the wilderness and not gain the land of promise of heaven. Or we can be like Joshua and Caleb. And we can resolve to continue. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't think Joshua was saying there, my house is going to serve the Lord because I tell them to serve the Lord. No, what he's saying is that my house has made the choice just like I have made the choice. That I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to follow Him. What a blessing. Not everyone of every household makes that choice. But you can make that choice. You can make the choice that you're going to serve God. That you're going to believe God. Regardless of how difficult life gets. Regardless of what some professor might say in a classroom, regardless of what all of your classmates might say, you've got a choice. Are you going to believe God? Or are you going to go with the unbelievers and perish in the wilderness? They fell. Not to the burning sands of the desert beneath the searing sun. They fell to their dried spirit of unbelief, their hardened hearts, and their seared conscience. We face difficult times in our life. Very difficult times. When members of our own family betray us and betray God, most especially betray God, when it seems like the easy way to handle this is the way that the world handles it. It might be the easy way, but it's not the right way. The easy way never saved anyone. The easy way always looks to self. What's the easy way for me to do this? We always look for the easy button, right? Remember the commercial? Push the easy button? That hadn't been that long ago. Come on, somebody ought to shake their head. Okay. The easy button is because we want the easy way. It's the easy way for me. What about the saving way for the person who's lost? It's easy to keep my mouth shut. It's easy for me to deal with a situation the way the world deals with it. And what that really means is, that means I don't have to deal with it. But the person who's lost is going to remain lost. Because we chose the easy way. When God teaches us how to handle these situations, we need to believe God. Trust Him. And do it God's way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 14 through 17, we read, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. I believe God. Are you in Christ? Are you going to trust him and obey him and always do things the way he tells you to do them? Or are you going to try to find an easy button? I believe God. I believe you believe God. And God calls upon us to demonstrate our belief in him by keeping his commandments, whatever that commandment might be, whatever our situation might be. But if you're here tonight, this morning, and you know that you are out of Christ, that you have sinned, and that the price of your sin is separation from God in this life and hereafter in eternity, and you know that Jesus has promised you eternal life. He has promised you a home in heaven. If you will just hear him and follow him, trust him and obey him. Turn from your sin. Turn to his righteousness that's revealed in the gospel of Christ and practice it. Be baptized today for the remission of your sins and rise to walk in newness of life with him. With this hope, genuine hope of eternal life and heaven in your hearts. You can leave this place rejoicing, knowing that you are saved, that you are forgiven of your sin, that you are a child of God with the inheritance of that heavenly Father. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you know that you're out of favor with him because you've trusted in yourself and the devices of man rather than trusting God, you need to repent of that. You need to confess it before him. If you'd like to have your brothers and sisters pray with you and for you on your behalf, James tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation today, please come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.